They came at night, when the flickering campfires shone like vast, unsteady stars along the black horizon. Old men and thin, with gray and tufted hair. Women with frightened eyes, dragging, whimpering, hungry children. Men and girls, stalwart and gaunt. A horde of starving vagabonds, homeless, helpless, and pitiable in their dark distress. When the Union Army declined to return slaves to their masters, it forced the issue of slavery itself. 2 years into the war, Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and in areas of the South that the Union controlled, black people became free. Then, just a few months after the war ended, the nation ratified the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery. But that hardly settled matters. Freed slaves in the South generally had no money, no land, no jobs, no schools, no businesses, and no system of justice to protect them. How would they live? This question was intimately connected to the question of how the former Confederate states would be governed. The dream of 40 acres and a mule for every black family, of a race of independent yeoman Southern farmers, depended on the availability of land. But in the end, the United States government declined to take away land from its pre-war white owners. When the Southern states quickly reconvened their legislatures, they passed new state constitutions and new laws meant to keep the former slaves in legal serfdom. The U.S. Congress established a Federal Bureau of Refugees, Freedmen, and Abandoned Lands, an ambitious, though under-financed effort, to build a free black society in the South. And when it invalidated the South's new state constitutions and established military rule instead, the Freedmen's Bureau, a branch of the Department of War, essentially governed the former Confederacy. It taxed and spent. It created schools and courts. It controlled large tracts of land. Local organizations called Loyal Leagues, mainly black and affiliated with the Republican Party, served as the political arm of the Freedmen's Bureau. Southern whites despised the Freedmen's Bureau and the Loyal Leagues, and, in the post-war years, increasingly took up arms against them. As Du Bois put it, guerrilla raiding, the ever-present flickering afterflame of war, was spending its forces against the Negroes, and all the Southern land was awakening as from some wild dream to poverty and social revolution. As time passed, the United States untidily found its way to a different idea of Reconstruction, one that put electoral politics at the center. Southern states that were willing to commit themselves to full civil and voting rights for the freed slaves were readmitted to the Union. The essence of the bargain was that Southern whites could vote if they would permit Southern blacks to vote, too. The 14th and 15th Amendments, adopted in 1868 and 1870, enshrined these rights in the Constitution. Direct military rule ended. As Du Bois put it, "So the Freedmen's Bureau died, and its child was the 15th Amendment." Du Bois limited his essay on Reconstruction to the period ending in 1872. And, after noting its shift to the political realm, ended by ominously repeating his first line. "The problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line." That is the point where this book picks up the story. The answer to the all-important question of what kinds of lives black people might live in the South now depended on the freed slaves' organizing abilities and on the reliability of their voting rights. From these, governmental power, and then schools and jobs and justice, would flow. In the Southern states with the largest black populations, the tradition of white vigilantism, which had persevered among Confederate veterans despite, or perhaps because of, their defeat at Appomattox, began to evolve into an organized, if unofficial, military effort to take away by terrorist violence the black political rights that were now part of the Constitution. All across the South, raiders staged armed clashes with local forces of black political empowerment and federal authority. And everyone knew that through this scripted series of confrontations, the final meaning of the Civil War would be determined.